Father, we come now and we come to say thank you. Thank you for this preaching moment, and thank you for blessing us to know you as our Lord and Savior, and know that without you we cannot make it. We ask you and we thank you for the fruit that your word will produce. Blessed is thy servant as I speak. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. Persistence in prayer. Paul is one of the great writers in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the good news. And he did a lot of things. And he seemed to have had an attitude of prayer. At the time Paul wrote these words that we read to you out of Colossians, he was in prison in Rome. Most of us would think that this would have been a downtime for him as far as seeing people come to Christ. Paul, however, was able to continue his work, not only during the best of times, but also in the most unfavorable circumstances in which he found himself. He had a real desire to get the good news out to the people because of what the Lord had done in his own life. Paul, in his life before Christ, was worse than some of you. He persecuted the church. He was not living for God. Thought he was, because he was a Jew. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, which means he kept the law as much as he could. I think it's F.B. Myers that wrote on the life of Paul. And one of the things he said in there from historians had told him that he had gleaned from studying the life of Paul was that his desire was to live 24 hours without breaking either one of the Ten Commandments. And he said he never was able to do it. So you see, he had a problem. He was a bad man. He was a sinner. But he constantly taught on prayer. Paul had a genuine down-to-earth experience. But now his life was different. How could he tell people wherever he went how God's grace had come to him and wanted them to have it too? How can he do that when everybody seemed to know everything bad about you? Hello, somebody. I know all y'all been in the church all your life. You have kept the letter of the law. You have done nothing wrong. But I stop by to tell you, some of us know some dirt on you too. But I stop by to tell you that if you have an experience with this man that we call Jesus, he can take care of that. And you will be able to answer them and tell them about his saving grace. The grace of God had come to him, and Paul wanted them to have it too. Paul had learned how to operate in all kinds of circumstances. As he shared his faith, he honored God, and with the commitment that I'm going to tell everybody about you. And brothers and sisters, can I just tell you this, that your job is to tell them. You can't make them. You tell them. Jesus said somewhere in John, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. No matter what your circumstances is, the best testimony and the best witness is the one that you can give somebody about what God have done for you. Point number one, found in verses 2 through 4. Continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Continuing prayer means to be consistent, unwavering in prayer. It means to have unbroken prayer with this God that we serve. But I know I can hear you saying it now, bag it, but I got to go to work. You sure you have to go to work? I need for you to go to work. But you still can continue in prayer. We need to continue in prayer because we need to develop an unbroken fellowship and communion with God. It means to walk and breathe in prayer, to live and move, and you have your beings in prayer because you are trusting in God. It means never to face a moment when you are not in prayer. I got to go to work. Still stay in prayer. When we have so many duties and so many affairs and so many things to take care of that demands our attention, how can we continue and walk in unbroken prayer? We need to develop an attitude of prayer. You need to be thinking about prayer, washing the dishes, doing the ironing, driving down the street. Even when you go to sleep, you ought to be praying. I'm gonna throw this in here, and I'm going to need some help with this after I say it. But Brunson, but Parker, y'all going to have to help me out. At night, when it's time for me to go to bed, I go to bed. At night, when it's time for my wife to go to bed, she get down beside the side of the bed. And she, I don't know how long she stay there, but I know what she's doing. She's praying. And I'm glad she prays. But I found if I kneel down there beside that bed to pray, I'm gonna go to sleep. I'm just telling the truth. I know I'm going to go to sleep because I can get up out of my recliner from where I have been for an hour or two. She thinks a lot of times I'll be watching television. The television is on, but I'm talking to God when I'm laying there in that recliner. And when I get up out of that recliner, it's about 30 steps from the recliner to the side of the bed. By the time I get to the side of the bed, it's all over. It's all over. It takes all I can do to turn that cover back, sit down on the side of that bed, slip my feet out of those shoes, and this is the way I get it. I roll in. And I pull the cover up over me, and I'm on the pillow. And when I first pull the cover up, it goes all over me. Right there, just like that. And I just lay there. And within before she sometimes she tell me she be talking to me. I don't know what she's saying. Because I go to bed to go to sleep. If I wait till I get there by the side of that bed, I've tried it, y'all. So but what I'm saying is an attitude of prayer. You have to get that way with God. You have to be in love with Him so much that you want to talk to Him. That's how you get to the place where you continue in prayer. Sometimes you have to get up early in the morning before anybody else in the house is up. If you got children in the house and you got to get them off to school, you get up before they get up because you got to fix some breakfast. Even if you got to fix the oatmeal in a bowl or the cornflakes in a bowl, you still got to fix. But you need some quiet time with God. And every one of us need to have our own way that we get in, we stay in touch with God and we continue in prayer. Don't ever think that you get enough of prayer, because it is your connected link with this God that we serve. You need to pray before you go to bed. Pray while you're in the bed. Pray when you get up out of the bed. Pray when you, just pray all the time. Because you are connecting with God. We need to spend extended time in prayer. And I tell myself that I need to do that because of the time and the days when I didn't pray. Because there have been days and time when I didn't even think about this God. But he kept me. Need to give him that extended time. Sometimes you need to stay there. And when you first start praying and having that quiet time, don't try not to have a clock around. Just go there and pray and pray and pray. I did a little exercise this morning in bed. I didn't know why I was doing it, but now I do. I laid there and I watched the minute change on the clock. Counting, it's one of them digital things that got a little section that makes the numbers. On the number four, one, two, it has four of them. When it makes a five, it got one, two, three, four, five. When it makes a six, it has one, two, three, four, five, six. I watched that. See, that doesn't make sense to you, but it does to me, because I was trying not to go back to sleep so I could get up and have some quiet time with God, but I didn't want to get up too early, so I gave myself an exercise, and for that clock to go from 4 to 5. Wasn't but 60 seconds, but it sure was a long time laying there watching it. Why are you telling us that? Because when you watch the clock, time seems not to go as fast. And I know some of you wishing it would fly by now. But my point is that when you're with God, you don't need a clock with time. Why? Because all the time that there is in his hands. So we just need to spend some time with God. Continue in prayer. We need to be watchful in prayer. Watch means to be alert. Watch means to be awake. Don't tell God you're going to pray when I can't tell God I'm going to pray when I get into bed, because I'm going to go to sleep. I can't watch when I'm in the bed. So I got to find some time when I can watch and pray and watch and pray and watch and pray. Yeah, you may say you ought to get tired of talking and preaching about prayer, brothers and sisters, but prayer is the one link that we have that's out of this world. Because you are talking with the God of the universe. You have the opportunity to come before the throne of grace to continue in prayer. And some of us have to pray when nobody is there but me and God, because we can't stand up in front of other people and pray. And I put both of them in my mouth right here. Don't let some other Christian condemn you because you can't pray in public. Jesus did it. Yeah, he did it. But you trying to get to that place. Have some quiet time with God when it's just the two of you. No matter what the situation is, you can talk to God about it. Every believer sometime get overworked get tired, pressure and strain on them. The list of things are innumerable where you can't concentrate on prayer. At that time, when it gets like that and you can't continue, you don't have to stay there all day. Peter was walking on the water. All he said was, "Lord, save me." And he was saved. So if your heart's right, when you're talking to him, and you normally talk to him for an extended period of time, and the day your body is wore out and you can't, talk to him as long as you can. He's going to hear you because he's concerned about us and our situation, so he's not going to leave us alone. And then we watchful, we must pray and be thankful in our praying. When someone else do something for you, you normally thank that person. The one person who's done more for us than anybody else is Lord God Almighty. He allowed us to be born on this earth, his earth. He allowed us to breathe his air. And he allowed us to be able to put one foot in front of the other. The situations that could have been in our lives, he averted them and they went around us. None of us know all the things that God have kept from coming our way. But because somebody or God saw fit for you to yet be here today and be like you are today, he blessed you and he kept something from happening to you. That's why we ought to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for just watching over me and keeping me. Thank you for allowing me to drive here today. Thank you that all the rain that have fallen today, my house still is not flooded. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to put one foot in front of the other. Thank you, Lord, that I have a job to go to tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, that I have different clothes to wear today. And I'm not hungry. I don't need anything. You have blessed me, Lord, and I thank you for it. That's why we ought to continue in prayer. We have so much to be thankful for. We get conceited and get beside ourselves. I keep saying this. I talk like that in my mind. I go back and I remember how it was growing up. And we lived in a house, and my dad always provided for us, and my mom provided for us. And but, how many of you old enough to remember the brown clothes bags that you used to get your clothes in if you sent them to the dry cleaner? Used to be a brown bag like the plastic bags y'all see now. Ours were brown paper bags, and if you were blessed enough to have sent some clothes to the laundry, to the dry cleaner, help me, Holy Ghost, when you got the bag back, you kept the bag. Because you wanted to have some clothes to put in the bag so you could hang them upside the wall. And the shift row, the chest drawer, or the closet, what was a nail driven in the board where you'd hang it up on. And you tell me that I don't have reason to thank God. We spent some time last night trying to decide what I was going to wear today. In the yesterdays, I didn't have that problem because I didn't have that much to decide from. I remember having one charcoal gray pair of pants from Spiegel. And I only wore them on a Sunday. Only wore them on Sunday. The next summer, I bought another pair. One summer, I might have bought two pairs. But the point I'm trying to get you to see is that we need to be thankful for what we have and where God has brought us from. Okay. And then after you get through praying and thankful for yourself, you need to remember somebody else. You need to pray for others, and I can give you one major reason why. because somebody have already prayed for you. They didn't tell you, but they prayed for you. Brother so-and-so that saw you walk by and you waved at them and they waved back. And they remembered you because you seemed to have been a respectful boy. And so they prayed for you the next day they went to church. And don't let them see you in church. Might not know your name. I see Meshach sitting back there. He ain't been here in a while. But he's on my prayer list. He's one of my guys. I pray for him every day. Jalen, I got a list of them. Tatum and the Reynolds kid, I got a list of them. I pray for them every day. And this is one of the first times they've heard me say, call them out that I prayed for. But you got to pray for somebody else because somebody prayed for me. You got to continue in prayer. Brothers and sisters, the praying that you do, if you just do it in church, you ain't praying. You're playing. You're playing church. Pray for somebody else. Pray for somebody else. Don't expect everybody to pray for you and you don't ever pray for anybody else. If you don't pray for me, I'm going to make sure I try to pray for you. Y'all know I'm going somewhere with this, don't you? This is my prayer list. Most of you are on it somewhere. Round circles. And on this one, there's always interconnecting because I want all of us to be so connected. This person up here is connected to this one down here. Because the circles connect. That's the way the church need to pray. That's the way you need to pray for everybody else. You need to pray for them because somebody have touched your life that you don't even know. And they because they prayed for you. They saw something in you that told them that you needed prayer. And they prayed for you. Paul didn't request for the church at Colossae to pray that he received a verdict of not guilty. He never mentioned pray that I get out. He always said pray for me that I may get the gospel out to somebody else who have not heard this gospel. Brothers and sisters, and you don't have to go to Africa and India to find people that haven't heard this gospel. Sometimes you don't even have to go out your own house. Because there's somebody that needs to hear this gospel. And you can tell them. You can tell them about this gospel and you can pray for them. Prayer is a law of the universe. If we pray and we are children of God, God will answer our prayer. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." You got to believe yourself. And when you pray it, if you pray it and believe it, then God will answer your prayer because you are his child. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, "If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be given to you." If you do that, you're going to continue in prayer. This word is going to be inside of you, and you're going to make every attempt you can to deposit it in somebody else because you want God to bless them because he have blessed you. We need to continue in prayer. Point number two. And this is especially important. We need to walk wisely before those who are without. Walk wisely before those who are without. Not without money. Not without a fine car. Not without food, but without the gospel. This refers to those unbelievers that are without the gospel in the world. Those who are walking through life without Christ or without God in their lives. We need to walk worthy before them simply for one reason, if not for another, because at one time in your life, you walk there too. You walk there too. So we need to make sure. They walk without hope. They don't have any hope. They don't have any hope beyond this life. All of their hope is in what they have now, those that are without. They are walking without the assurance of life hereafter with God. We need to tell them that this world is not all that there is. If this is all it is to it, we are ourselves most miserable because we're hurting right now. But if there's not something after this life, we're in bad shape. Those that are without are walking without help in facing the trials and the traumas of life. I keep saying this. Unbelievers go through, if they go through the same thing you go through, it affects them a whole lot worse than it do you, because believers know that we have an answer, that this is not all that there is to it. After a while, by and by, if I keep living for him, I'm going home with him. You got to believe. You got to walk worthy before those people that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when you're walking worthy before them, they might look at you like they don't give a hoot about what you're saying or what you think, but you keep telling them. You keep showing them. They might not listen to you, but they'll watch you. Might not hear what you're saying, but they'll watch you when you're living. And if your Christianity ends when you walk out that door, you don't have much. If you have to show your Christianity in the church house, you don't have much. Outside is where the work is. Those that are without are walking without peace. They're walking without security. They're walking without God's care and deliverance. Brothers and sisters, it's so important for us to know that this world where we're living now is not all that there is to it. We need to be concerned about our brothers and our sisters that are walking without the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those that have not heard or do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they need to be told about this God. They need to be shown that this God is real and that he can provide for them what they need, and that's eternal salvation. They are walking without fellowship with God and with the family of believers. Yes, God created all of us. All we are made by God, but all of those that are made by God are not children of God. They are not his children because they made a choice not to be. God created all human beings, yes. But if I make a conscious decision that I'm going to serve the devil and go to hell, God's going to let go. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and God will allow me to do it. He ain't going to force you. I do not believe that God forced anybody to come to church this morning. And I didn't come because I'm pastor. Because if I was not going to come, today would have been a good day not to come at 11 o'clock because it's a pastor appreciation. And they don't expect you to do much on that day. But I come to do the same thing today I'm going to do next Sunday. Preach this gospel. And God does not force anybody to come. You have to come because of your love for God. Yes, mama may have made you come today. But she's planting a seed on the inside of you that when you get old as she is, you'll want to be in the house of God. So we have to know that the unbelievers do not have the fellowship and the concern and the care of God. And one thing that they really don't have that's real important, they don't have the assurance that they have been forgiven for the sins that they've done. Baggett, how do you know that? I don't know how I know it, but I just know it. Basically because the Bible says, ask. If you ask for forgiveness from your heart, not from your lips. You can ask it from your lips and know how to play church, and everybody will think that you mean it from your heart. I know none of y'all never done that, but some of us have. You know, we got in a bind, and we said, well, I was reading something about that this morning. Said every time they were reared in church, and when he did something bad in school, and they told his mama, he after he got 15 or 16 years old, he said, well, he told us, well, I guess I'll go to church for 4 or 5 weeks, and then mama forgive me. Mama and the church folks will pray for me, and I'll get forgiveness. Uh-huh. Don't look at me funny. Some of y'all or some of us have done the same thing. Try to come long enough for God. We thank God to forget about it. He'll forgive you, but it's always there for in your mind, but God will forgive you. And the Bible says a song or something says you throw it in the sea of forgiveness and it won't be there no more. So we have the assurance that the sins that we have committed have been forgiven because of this God that we serve, and our heart is in the right place when we ask him. Don't try to fool God. Those that walking without God, they don't have any light in their life. They don't have freedom. All they have is darkness and death and the grave. And the grave will hold you. But when Christ come back, those that are his, he's going to take them back with him. See, we need to understand that we need to just help somebody else, especially those that are without. Believers are to walk in wisdom toward those who are without Christ, redeeming and making the best use of their time. Redeeming the time back is when you tell somebody about this God that you serve, and you use yourself and your life as an example. You tell them where God have brought you from. That's redeeming the time. Take time. Walk wisely. Mean to walk through. Thoroughly and fully and doing the will of God. Might not can tell them in their language what you are experiencing in your life, but you can show them how they need to live for God. Tell somebody about this God that you serve, and you don't have to worry about whether they believe you or not. He said, you tell them. The Holy Spirit will convict them of what he needs to convict them of, but you make sure you tell them and walk wisely in front of those that are without, because some people will not pick up a Thompson Chain Reference Bible or a Living Phrase Bible, but they'll watch your life. And that would be the only Bible that they read. We need to tell them, but the world is out there and they're lost. That's why I say you don't have to go out of the country. You don't have to go out of the county. You don't have to go out of the city. You don't have to go out of the state. Just witness to the people that are around you that are without this gospel. You tell them, and you tell them in a way that will not offend them, but you tell them anyhow. If you don't worry, if you offend them, it's because of what's on the inside of them. Let them know. That's my next point. Point number 3, speak always with grace. In verse number 6, season what you share, and sharing what you season. Season it to them to make their life, make a difference in their life. What expectation God has for us? God expect you to love him enough that you will know how to tell somebody about him without making them angry with you. You need to understand that just because you say, it doesn't mean everybody else is saved. And because you think they're lost, it doesn't mean that they're lost. You need to witness to them. If you are a child of God and you're saved and you haven't been witnessed to since you've been saved, you've been locked in a cage. Because if you're saved, you still need to be witnessed to by somebody to tell you about this God that we serve. And don't think you get so saved that you don't need to hear what somebody else have been through. Some of us think we got both of our feet in heaven right now, but I stop by to tell you that that's not so, because you're still walking around down here on earth. Share the gospel and season it with salt. Salt is a seasoner, and I know some of us got high blood pressure and you can't have a whole lot of salt, but the gospel need to be seasoned with salt. It's used as an example to let you know that you need to change up. A pork chop is a pork chop. But you try to eat one without a little bit of season on it, it tastes dry and bland. But then you turn right around and put a little salt on it, it helps it and it tastes a little bit better. That's what it means. It's easy to go down. If a man, I talk about guys all the time, and I call them jokers. I call them sorry jokers. I say, if that joker won't listen to you in the way that you're coming at him, change and come around another way. Get to him. If he likes football, don't try to get to him telling him about his team is no good. Tell him the good side of his team. Although you think there might not be any good, you find something good about him and you tell him that. You find a way. That's seasoning it with salt. You don't lie to him. You just go at it a different way. A young man was telling me about the Dallas Cowboys, and he saw my bag and he said, you carrying that bag? I said, yeah, I'm carrying it. I said, because it's mine. I said, and I like the Cowboys. I said, what you got to say? He said, nothing. I said, why? He said, because I'm a Redskin fan. I said, shake hands. Because both of us had a losing team this season. But I'm saying, my point is, you find a way. And after that, I found a way. We had something in common. Both of us had losing teams, but both of us was on another team that were winners. And that's on God's team. So my point is that you season it with salt. So many times we can't witness to somebody else because we tell them all the things that they're doing is wrong. I know what I'm doing wrong. You don't have to tell me. I know. Meshach know when he cut class. He know. I ain't got to tell him. You too, Tatum. Y'all know. I ain't got to tell you. You know. Where's my other buddy? Where's Joseph? Jojo. He know when he does wrong in school. I do too. I ain't got to tell him. He know it. So I got to find some other way to get at him. I got to find another. I ain't going to tell him about all the wrong he's doing. Like Jojo think he my buddy, you know. He can't, whatever he does is okay with me as long as he stay cool. I'm gonna get cool with him one day. I'm going to grab him by the nape of his neck. Yeah. But my point is we have to find ways. And I didn't bother none of the girls because I'm hard on my guys because it's easy for us guys to get out there and stay out there. Young ladies will get out there and somebody will bring them back. But those guys, they so hard-headed. Y'all all right, guys. I'm on y'all's side. I just been where you are, and I know how it is to get back. But you got to season it. Now, you can put too much season in it. You have to season it to the taste of the person that you're feeding. I ain't lost. I'm marinating you. Everybody can't eat food seasoned the same way. Some people don't want any salt at all. Don't want no paprika, no Greek seasoning. Don't want any. Just cook it just like it come out of the ground. And for those people, you find what you want to tell them in the Bible and just give them the Bible. Now, I'm thinking, Dwight Baggett thinking now, just give me the Bible and then let me decide. No, the Bible is the best interpreter of itself. Whatever it tells you one place, it will back it up someplace else. The problem is you have to find, and it's in there, and God will bring it to your remembrance. Let your conversation be seasoned with grace. Don't talk down to people that are sinners about this. Don't talk to down to them to me is about the sin that you may think that they are committing. I said it before. They know. They know what they're doing is wrong. Just like you did and just like I did. I knew what I was doing was wrong. But I didn't want to quit doing what I was doing. When I made up my mind I was going to quit, I quit. And let me say this. You don't have to be the world's worst drunk or worst dope addict or worst homemonger to have sinned and be out of the will of God. I do believe there are going to be some good people in hell that have not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. Do good things. Do good deeds. Help anybody. But have not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. That's the kicker right there. You have to surrender your life to Christ and be willing to serve him. If you are a child of God, you ought to have speech that will deter and make evil and sin go away without hurting the people's feelings. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. There's not too many people that can find something wrong with talking to them about Jesus Christ. Might not tell you that I receive it, but I will receive it, and what it is, if I'm a wrong sinner, I don't want you to know. I don't want you to think that what you're saying is convicting me of what I'm doing is wrong. Hold fast, stand in it. Let the form or the sound of it, let it be good. And most of the time, the people that we need to witness to are the people that's closest to us. And we don't. Tell them about this God. Share it and season it with salt. Don't be harsh and don't beat them up all the time. Every time you see them, they see you coming down the street and they turn and go the other way because they know you're going to jump on them about something that they're doing that's wrong. In your words, it needs to be like taking an aspirin for a headache. It needs to do them some good. And they need to feel like what you're saying is going to be helpful to them. Don't go to witness to them and beat them up with, and when you leave, they feel worse than they did before you arrived. When you arrived, my right foot was hurting. When you leave, both of them hurting because of what you said and the way that you said it. We need to season what we're saying. And so many times, a lot of those of us that are saved, we forget how I used to be. And now I just see you like you used to be, and I don't ever see myself when I'm talking to you about you. I ain't lost. I want you to think about that. Don't forget where you have come from in your spiritual walk, and don't forget who brought you. You didn't bring yourself. God brought you. Using the Holy Spirit, we need to make sure what we talk to them about that we season with salt is covered in the Scripture. Don't let it be your thinking, unless your thinking is along the same lines that the Bible is. Tell them, but let it be biblically based. Tell them and season it with salt. Persistence in prayer. Stay there. And Paul was telling the church at Colossae he wanted them to stay in prayer. And he was in prison, but he wanted them to pray that he could get out and he could tell somebody about the gospel. If I don't get out, I want to witness to him here. One place he was in jail that they had people hooked to him. He was in a house.
But he was still witnessing the people about this God. No matter what circumstances you're in, don't let your circumstances stop you from persisting in prayer. We need to stay in prayer because prayer is the link that helps us stay connected with God. Tell them about the resurrection of Christ. Be season it a way that they can receive it, but don't lie to them. Don't make them believe that coming to Christ to them seems to be a fix it all. In all your witness and tell them that sins that we commit or have committed, there are consequences for them. And all of them are not yesterday. Some of them are in front of us. The sins that we have committed, there are consequences for them. And so we need to tell them that just because you surrender your life to God, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be okay. You're going to still have to go through some hard times. But you need to tell them that God will see them through. He won't leave them, and you will not be by yourself. God will stay with you when you come to Him. And stay in prayer. Brothers and sisters, prayer is the link. Prayer is where we need to stay. We need to stay in the Word of God. We need to stay in the Scripture. We need to hold fast to the Holy Word of God. God's Word is all that you need to get out of your sin. Yes, you need some brothers and sisters beside you to help you along the way, but you need to surrender yourself to God. Nobody else can do that for you. You have to do that for yourself. Mama and daddy and the preacher and the deacons and the church can pray for you, but every now and then you ought to go on your knees for yourself. You ought to talk to God and tell God how much you appreciate what He's done for you. Tell Him you appreciate the sin that He has forgiven you for, and you make a commitment to not to sin anymore. But when you do sin, you have an advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, and He will come and be by your side. God Himself will see that everything goes all right for you, because He's in heaven looking down at what He made. And we are made in the image of God. And when you're made in His image, you ought to represent Him and represent Him well, because He needs for you to tell somebody. There's somebody that's lost in sin that's just waiting on you to tell them about how good God has been to you. Everyone, every born again saved child of God got a testimony that they can tell, that somebody will hear and adhere to and come to Christ. But you got to tell them, and you got to stay on your knees, and you got to continue to pray to this God. And when you pray to Him, you have to be expecting Him to answer to you. You got to pray, brothers and sisters, and don't get weary in well doing. Just pray and expect God to answer your prayer, and God will stop to see about you. Be persistent in your prayer. Don't pray this week and wait until next week to pray again. Before the day is over, you ought to be praying again. God will stop to see about you. If the Son of God found time to get alone with God, who do you think you are that you shouldn't have time to get alone with God? God will hear your prayer. We need to be persistent in prayer until we get to the place where we can say, like Jesus said in John chapter 17, not my will, but thy will be done. My mind, when I was doing this, went to brother Abraham. Abraham, God had promised him that all of this, he was going to be the father of a nation. And Abraham had no children of his own. Abraham suggested that his servant, Ishmael, could be his central heir. But God will for Abraham and Sarah was for them to have their own child. And if you are a child of God and you walk the way God would have you to walk, God got something for you that nobody else can replace. And God will provide it. He provided Abraham with a son by the name of Isaac. And Isaac inherited the things of what Abraham would have had him to do. The son's name was Isaac. You can find that in Genesis 15 and Genesis 17. Then there was Jacob who wrestled with an angel until the Lord, with the angel of the Lord, until Jacob could, all he could do was hold on to the angel. And the angel told him, said, "You gotta let me go." Jacob said, "Well, bless me and I'll let you go." And he touched him in the hollow of his hip, and then he let him go, and he left something with him. He blessed him. He left him with a limp. See, you can't be with God and talk with God unless something happened to change your life. Jacob walked away from there with a limp in his walk. He couldn't run no more. All he could do was limp wherever he was going. God will fix you so you can't do the things you used to do if that's where you stand away from him. See, you got to pray and talk with God. Paul prayed three times that the thorn would come out of his side, and he prayed and he prayed, but then he got a word from God. He said, "My grace is sufficient. You might have a thorn in your side, but if you're walking with God and you're staying in prayer, God's grace will be sufficient, and God will provide just what you need." And sometime when God provides what we need, we don't have sense enough to know what we need, but God provides it anyway. And later on down the road, you see that God have provided what you needed. Brothers and sisters, you cannot pray too much. No one that we found, that I know of, died because they prayed too much. Might eat too much. Might do a lot of other things too much. But praying and talking with God, you can't do that too much. Persistence in prayer. Brothers and sisters, we need to get there and we need to stay there. Yes, you can stay there and do all the other things that you want to do too. But you got to know that you 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 are praying and you are talking with this God that we serve. With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, for you to surrender your life to Christ. For Christ I live, and for Christ I die. But you have to make up your mind. And brothers and sisters, you don't have to tell anybody else that you've made up your mind. You just tell God. And when it's time, everybody else will know it, because they will see a change in your life. God, when we allow God to come into our life, he changes us. You can't change God. But if you surrender to him, he will change you. Will you come? Will you come to Christ today and allow Christ to come into your life? He will take you just as you are, but you need to come to him. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need to become persistent in prayer. And don't think because you pray today and you ask God for something and it doesn't come when you ask Him, don't give up. Stay persistent in prayer. And God will. He will answer. He will answer. We need to stay there. Amen. God bless you and God keep you as our prayer. Be back at 3 o'clock. We've invited Pastor Young from Canaan Baptist Church in Pensacola to be with us at 3 o'clock. And lunch will be served after the 3 o'clock service.